Praise the Lord. We're excited about what God is doing in this local church through this body of believers. We're excited about what He's going to do because He's given us a great vision. He's given us a great hope. And so we thank God for every person that God has called to this house, because all of you have a part in doing what God has called us to do. And so we pray right now over you, that blessing of God. Come on, just put your hand up to heaven just a moment as we pray. Father, we thank you today that your word is alive. It's sharp. It's more powerful than even a two-edged sword. It's dividing right now. It's cutting through. It's penetrating our heart and our soul that we might know the intent and the purpose of our hearts and our lives. We thank you, Lord, that it is the engrafted word that's able to save our soul. And we're ready today, Lord, to receive everything that the Spirit of God has for us in Jesus' name. Now, you pray for me just a moment. Just pray for your pastor right now that I will be anointed to preach, to teach, to minister unhindered, that the Word of God will go forth with liberty, with freedom, into the hearts and the lives of every person that has ears to hear today. Lord, I pray, God, that their hearts will be pliable. It'll be, Lord, receptors of what you have for them today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And amen. All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of John, John's Gospel, chapter 3. Now, we are beginning a new series. Let me stop because they're waving me back there. I've been out of pocket here a while. Do we have any visitors? I know we have some visitors. I've met two or three coming in. Do we have anybody here for the first time? Just lift your hands real high. Just lift your hand. God bless you. I saw some others. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Our friends from Canada, we just appreciate you. Now, as I was saying there, we are starting a new series of messages on Sunday morning. Now, this series is going to be a little bit different. And to be honest with you, I began to study and really get into these things quite a while back, but God gave us the message about moving into our wealthy place. But this is a message I believe the Spirit of God has given to us to teach and minister to the whole church, not just part of the church like on Wednesday night, but the whole church. And so this new series, they can put it up on the PowerPoint if you would. The title that I'm going to call it is, How is Your Love Life? Now don't freak out on me because it's just a title, but really it's going to be talking about relationships. How many know that everyone in this room is in a relationship? Now, it may be a relationship with your mate, your spouse, in a marriage, a relationship with your children. It might be in a relationship with a friend or boyfriend or girlfriend. But all of us are in relationships somewhere and somehow. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And God made you to be in relationships. If you're a person that can't make a relationship, then there's some flaws. There's some problems, okay? And there's some things that need to be worked out in your life, because God made each one of us to be in relationship with people. One of the reasons we'll find out that we're left in this earth is because of people. I mean, if God was through with us, He'd just take us on to heaven. Amen? So, God made us to be in relationship. And while I was, on the trip into Mexico, one of the things I asked Mimi to do was put in the bulletin, make announcements, told Brother Marvin have you, the people of this church, to either write, make notes, or email, ever how you want to do it, questions that you might have about relationships. Now, you don't have to sign them. You don't have to, say who it is or what. Just questions. But, over the years, I've received a lot of questions. We've had a website over a decade. We had a website when internet was not even popular. So we've had over the years numerous amount of questions from from you just wouldn't begin to imagine all the things that's been asked, especially when it comes to things like marriage and relationships and those kind of things. Now, some of those things I couldn't share publicly from the pulpit. I'd have to give a passcode, and, you know, they'd have to go in and find their answer, because some things are pretty blunt. Sometimes they ask some pretty raw stuff. But see, God has an answer for everything. We know that God has an answer for everything, and we have to get into the Word and, you know, find out what the will of God is. So I'll attempt to answer anything that you asked. I won't give you away, or, you know, we won't make fun of you, or we won't try to ask it or say it in a way where somebody in the church will know who it is. So we'll try to do these things as discreet as possible. But the main thing is that we want you to learn and you to grow. And let me remind you of some things here before I take off in this. You remember, and one of the reasons, listen, one of the reasons we do take an extended trip is not a vacation. It's a time to seek the Lord. It's a time to pray. It's a time to get direction for our church. And, you know, that's how we came up with the message of moving into our wealthy place. How many believe that God has a wealthy place for our life? Okay, so we want to find out what the will of God is and continue in the will of God for our life. Well, if you remember, the word of the Lord came forth and made some statements like, this is going to be a year of adversity. But adversity is not going to overtake the people of this church. Now, how many know, in retrospect, it's easy to prophesy after something has already taken place. But in retrospect, how many know, this has been a pretty tough year. It's been a pretty tough year, and it's just barely half over. So God knows exactly what He wants us to receive. He knows exactly what we need to grow. He knows exactly what we need to overcome in every area of our life. Now, how many know in relationships, for example, that you will have some adverse problems? Anybody in here in a marriage, for example, that's never had a fight? You know, you've probably only been married about 30 seconds if you've never fought. Right? So all relationships, whether it's marriage or whether it's friendships or what have you, how many know they will have their challenges? They will have tests and they will have trials to, if nothing else, just to check the validity of those things. So with all those things in mind, I thought I would just bring to your remembrance that God told us that this would be a year of adversity, but the adversity would not take us down. Because really, that's what adversities, tests, and trials, and if you will, just pressures and stresses of life try to come on us to take us down. But aren't you glad you're connected to something greater than the problems of this world? Aren't you glad that you're connected to the solution, the one who has an answer to every situation, to every problem in life? So we refuse, if you will, again, to let these adversities come and overtake us and take us down. And there's many things, and there's many. We're going to read John chapter 3 here in a minute, and there's a lot of things here that we could get into. But I want to read, you know, every weekend I'll try to get to at least one question. This weekend I'm going to get to, I think I'm going to read about three here, and then we'll just take off in what we want to do, because I want to lay a foundation. So we're talking about how's your love life, and I titled this first message, The Foundation. And I think they have the questions on the slide, right? Would you put them up? Is that thing working? Put up question one. Let me read it to you, and let me just do these right quickly, and then we'll get into the Word. And these are questions that some of you have asked. These are questions that we've gotten over the years. We've tried to combine them and condense them down. But here's one. It says, I seem to get hurt in every relationship I get into. Is the problem with me or is it with others? Well, here's the answer. It is you and it is others. Now, I'm not trying to be funny or trying to be cute. I'm just telling you that by the very nature of relationships, listen, will challenge you. And what you have to understand going into a relationship is that you have to know that you are not going to change the other person. Now listen to me. You're not going to change the other person in the relationship. So if there's going to be change, it has to begin with you. Now the worst thing you can do is listen to the teachings that I'm going to do over the next few weeks and sit there and wish that your husband was here to hear what I just said. Every correction and discipline needs to start with Y-O-U first. Are you here? Okay. And so would you put up, and my encouragement to you is that in the relationship, begin to work on your own character, work on your own flaws. You know what they are. You look in the mirror every day. Amen. You've heard what people said. Now, sometimes people say things that are not true. But if they're true, then fix them. Don't become offended because you have flaws. Because who in here among us does not have flaws? Amen. I said, who in here among us is perfect? There is no perfect person. We're going to find out that we are a church full of imperfect people. We're going to find out that we were sinners. We have been saved by grace, but yet we're a church full of people that still sin. Don't look at me so religious, okay? Because I'm here to help you. I'm here. This is a word from the Lord. You are not going to let any adversity, whether it be financial, whether it be the devil, or whether it be a person or a relationship, is not going to overtake you this year. Amen. Now, here's the second question. It says, they said, I'm not going to tell you who said these things or anything. It says, I've recently been divorced and would like to start dating or getting into another relationship again. How long should I wait before getting back into a relationship? Now, let me answer this by just telling you, if you've recently been divorced, again, I would not encourage anybody to jump right back into a marriage or into a relationship that strong, because you need to work on yourself. Now, whether you want to realize it or not, if a person gets a divorce or a person has to separate, then there are problems in that marriage. Would you acknowledge that? And so, would you also acknowledge that in any relationship, for example, and I'll use marriage, that one is not enough when there's problems to get help? In other words, both have to know that they need help so that that relationship can be healed and made whole. If only one person wants to be helped and the other person doesn't, how many know that relationship is not going to work? So it has to be a mutual agreement that we're not going to harden our hearts, okay, but that we're going to find out what God has for us. So if you will just, and to answer the question really, is if you will put away all of your other relationships while you're in this period of time and just relationship yourself with the Lord. Get your relationship right with the Lord this time, before you enter into relationship with somebody else. Are you with me? And so more than likely, if it went to the point where you had to divorce, it means that there were some serious problems, there were some serious flaws in that marriage. Now just keep looking forward, and you know, just pretend like nothing like this has ever happened, or you know of anybody that's ever happened to. But what we have to understand is that when two people come to that point, how many know it's because somebody has hardened their heart, either one or both, to the point where they have given up and they don't think it'll work anymore. Are you with me? And then the third question here, remember, you won't be perfect when you get married. Now, I'm speaking, this is not just to married people. This is not just marriage classes. This is speaking to every person, every gender, every age group in this room. God wants us to overcome and be victorious in our relationships. That's why we entitled this message, How is Your Love Life? Because What I'm going to talk about is not, listen, not you walking in love, but how God loves you. Amen. We're not going to look at this morning walking in love or the love walk. We're going to talk about how much God loves us. Now, here's the third question, and it brings me to what we're going to talk about today. Question number three, would you put that one up there, please? It says, my mate has done so many things to hurt me that I'm not sure I can love them any longer. Is it wrong to feel that way? Now, again, before I answer it, let me give you a little disclaimer here. If the question was asked by somebody that was in an abusive situation, for example, I would never give them counsel or encourage them to stay in an abusive situation. You know, I didn't say divorce the person. I said if you're in an abusive situation, whether it be physical or whether it be verbal, you know, somebody slapping the snot out of you every other day, listen, you don't have to stay in that kind of relationship. Are you here? So we have to make sure that we understand that. Now, not everybody is on that side of the ledger, okay? So we have to understand that we can love anybody, anywhere, anytime. Now, let me say it again. We can make a choice because love is a choice. And we can make a choice to love anybody, anywhere, at any time. Are you with me? And so these are things that we need to know. In answering that question, I have to answer it that way because I can make a choice to love somebody or not to love somebody. But in order for me to make the choice to love somebody, no matter how they treat me, no matter what they do to me, I have to have a revelation of how much God loves me. Now, this is the key to what I'm sharing with you today. I want you to listen to this very, very attentively today. Because how you see God loving you will affect every relationship that you have in this natural life. Every relationship that you will have in this earth with other human beings, whether it be your mate, spouse, children, whatever, will be directly affected by how you see, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit given to you, the love of God and how God loves you. I want you to understand this because it's like forgiveness. You know, it's hard to forgive people that have really hurt you. It's hard to forgive people that have really, really done you wrong. But yet, I won't walk in the fullness of that forgiveness until I get a revelation of how much God has forgiven me. Same example, same situation. Let me just qualify this again. You are not a Christian to become a doormat for anybody. You're not a Christian so that people can walk all over you. If you ever heard us do a marriage ceremony, we talk about not being a doormat for the other person. And nowhere in the Word of God does it give someone the right to dominate another person. Don't ever, and here's what I found out. A lot of Christians misunderstand Jesus. And they say, well, you know, Jesus never opened his mouth. He was a sheep that was led to the slaughter. That is true on the way to the cross at Calvary. But you go back and you study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find out for 3.5 years, Jesus opened his mouth a lot. He did not allow people to walk all over him. He did not allow people to insult him and get away with it. Are you listening to me? So you are not to become a doormat and think, well, you know, the love of God just says I'm just supposed to take whatever's dished out. No. That's not what the Word of God teaches. That's not what we're talking about this morning. So, you are not a Christian who has been saved and allows somebody to take advantage of you. Are you with me? So these are why we have to understand these things. Now, let's get into today what we're going to talk about, the love of God. Have you found John chapter 3? I'm gonna read verse 16. Everybody knows John 3:16, right? Okay, are y'all excited? Okay. It says, let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, let me just say, and I'll come back and expound on this a little bit, but first of all, I'm reading out of the New King James Bible. And let me just give you some things here. Love is how we have relationships in the body of Christ. I heard somebody say, well, I'm a faith person, not a love person. Well, you need to go back and read the Bible, because faith works by love. Amen. Faith is how we get into a relationship with God. We must believe that he is. Faith is how we appropriate or receive from God. But love is how we get along or come into relationship with other human beings in this earth. Are you with me? So there has to be the love of God operating and working in our life. Again, understanding how much more would your relationships in a positive fashion be affected by a revelation of how much God loves you. Now, we're going to talk about quite a few things here, and if you, there's a lot of reasons that we could talk about, and there's a lot of reasons people get hurt. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of reasons that relationships go south, you know, get messed up. And I'm going to give you some, okay, so that you'll get an understanding of really not you walking in love this morning, but how much God loves you. Say this with me. Say, I need a revelation of how much God loves me. Now, the only reason why, or here's one reason, people get hurt in relationships is that they have wrong expectations. Can I just give you something here that will help you? Expect nothing in relationships, but give thanks for everything. Amen. Let me say one more time. Expect nothing in relationships. In other words, when you enter into a relationship, you don't expect anything. Amen. Don't expect your kids to call you. Don't expect to get a card on Mother's Day. Come on. You go into a relationship not expecting anything. You say, well, that's crazy. No, that's why people get hurt. Because other people don't live up to our expectations. Amen. Now look here. In John chapter 3, verse 16, there's a word used there. And if you're taking notes, I want you to see this, because it says, for God so loved the world. Now, a lot of you know this, but the word love is the word agape. Now, in the natural realm, we have a tendency to think love works like this. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. I like what this, you know, this lady, you know, she gave her the book that availeth much and ministered to her a little bit. And every day she was bringing us stuff. Now, we did something for her one time, but we really didn't do anything for her the rest of the time. And I kept thinking, why is she doing this? Well, I believe she was doing it because the love of God was shed abroad in her heart. And she respected and she honored that love. And so I'm telling you this to say these things to you, that there is no one English word that can define the word agape. That's what that word is there in the Greek, if you're taking notes. A-G-A-P-E. I mean, have you ever heard of agape love? Well, there is not, you can't define it as some versions of the Bible define it as charity. Listen, there is not, this is the problem, there is no one word that describes agape or the love kind of die. Now write this down and listen if you're taking notes, because we're not talking about you walking in love today. We're talking about you get a revelation of how much God loves you. Are you with me? Because if you don't get a revelation of how much God loves you, then every relationship will be affected because you don't have a revelation of what God's love is to you. In other words, if you're a person that gets angry and you're a person that gets upset a lot and a person that gets mad, it's because you don't have a working understanding, a revelation of how much God loves you unconditionally. And so we have to keep these things in mind. If I don't understand how much and the way that God loves me, my relationships in this natural earth will be messed up. They'll get goofed up because I don't have a revelation of the way God loves me. Now, are you writing these things down? Listen to me, because I'm going to define the best I can do in English words the word agape. And you can go to Vines and all the Greek New Testament helps and so on and so forth, but this is basically what you come up with. First of all, and you need to see these things. First of all, it is, agape can be defined as an unconditional love. That means that God puts no conditions on loving you. Listen to me closely. We will see that God loved us even while we were yet sinners. There is no precondition on God loving us. God puts no condition. That's why it's called unconditional love. Here's the second meaning. Agape means unchanging love. A love that not only not puts conditions, but He loves us and His love toward us never changes. Are you with me? His love towards us. Now, how many have made a mistake in life and given up either on yourself or given up on somebody? You see, God's love does not change toward you, whether you're doing good or whether you're doing bad. Mm-hmm. The third thing, see, Jesus doesn't change His love because I make a mistake. How many of you have ever made a mistake since you've been saved? At least one. Three of you? Well, it does not change God's love for me because I made a mistake. Now, that ought to relieve some of you. But you see, if you view God as the type of person that's counting strikes, one, two, three, you're out, then that's the kind of relationships that you're going to have, and that's the way you're going to be involved in your relationships. Thirdly, it means a giving love. One translation says the God kind of love. That's why this word really, literally had to be created or invented in the Greek just to describe the God kind of love, because there's several words for love, okay? But there's only one kind of agape, and agape is unchanging and is unconditional. And as one translation says, the God kind of love are a love that expects nothing in return. God's love does not expect anything in return. Now, this is different than the love that most people have, because the way most people view love and friendships and relationships is, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You do good things for me, I'll do good things for you. Are you with me? But you see, human love works like that. But God's love expects nothing. Now, if you're a performer and you think that because you pray more, because you attend church more, because you get in the Word more, that is going to change and affect the way God loves you, you're mistaken. You're not going to do anything, whether it's good or whether it's bad, to make God love you more or to make God love you less. Are you with me? This is agape. God loves you expecting nothing in return. Now, a lot of people get condemned. They get guilty when they fall flat, or they do something wrong, or they, you know, something happens and they get to thinking God doesn't love them anymore. It's because you don't have a revelation of the true love of God and how much God loves you, that it will never change. It is unconditional, and He doesn't expect anything in return.
He doesn't even expect you to love Him in return. He doesn't expect you to serve Him. He doesn't expect you to give to Him. He doesn't expect anything in return. He loves you first. All right, now let's go to the Bible. Let's go look at some more of these things. Well, we're just laying a foundation. That's why I'm calling this first message here the foundation. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Now, while you're going there, let me quote you two other scriptures. You can just write these down. I don't think I give them to put up on the projection. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." Now, that word bestowed means to give freely, expecting nothing in return, okay? "That we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him." Verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God." And then the other verse I want you to write down is 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "We love Him because He first loved us." Now, let's don't make any mistake here and get to thinking, you know, we love God first. God loved us first. We love God because God loved us first. Are you with me? That's the kind of God that God loved you with. Unconditional, unchanging, the God called kind of love called agape that expects nothing in return. Now, some of you are looking at me like, wow, this is too good to be true. Well, I'm just reading the Bible. Let's read out of Romans chapter 6 and let's just expand this thought. Or Romans chapter 5, rather. Verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength..." Everybody say strength. Strength means that you were weak, you were feeble, you were sickly, you were not whole, you were not saved. Now look at this. He said, "For while we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the" who? "The ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates," or that word could be said, it introduced. God is the one that introduced His love into this earth. Not man. Not natural affection. Are you with me? God's the one that demonstrates His own love, His agape toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Now, look up here just a second. There's three things that He told us right here in this passage of Scripture. He loved us when we were still sinners. He loved us when we were ungodly. And He loved us when we were still enemies. Did you see those three things? He loved us while we were still sinners. He loved us in our ungodliness. And He loved us while we were enemies to God. Now let me just ask you a question. If God loved us when we were ugly, when we were sinners and ungodly and unrighteous, do you think God's love changes for us because now we are Christians? No. God loves you the same. That's the revelation. That's the point I'm trying to make. God loved you. Now listen, hear this. While you were a sinner. There, make no mistake. Make no mistake about this. Listen, and I'm not preaching this so you can say, well, hallelujah, I can just live any way I want to live. No, you won't live any way you want to live if you love God. But you also will have a effect, or it will have an effect on you how your relationships are in this natural earth by seeing how God loves you. In other words, what I've got to come back to is knowing that God loves me no matter what I do. But let me qualify something here. How many of you have children? Now, you know, when your children are like 1 year old or less, you think they're angels. You see no wrong. But when they get up about 18, you find out, maybe there was some things there. Listen. Every godly parent, every good parent loves their children regardless of what they do. I said every normal parent, let's put it that way,
loves their children no matter what they do. But you may not like or you may be displeased with things they do, but yet they're still your children. I can't get a better example than that, letting you know, because all of us who have children, when they get older, they do things that displease us. But we don't disown them or tell them that they're no longer our children. Are you with me? And this is the same way. This is agape love. God, there's things that displease us. Listen, you could walk out of here in a little bit and you could go live in sin, go get an adulterous relationship, go to the cantina tonight and just get rip snoring drunk. God still loves you. Okay? But you're hurting yourself. Right? God is not pleased with that, because the reason God is not pleased with that is He knows that you're not going to operate in the fullness of that love and receive the fullness of that blessing. But God's love to you never changes. God's love to you is unconditional. God loves you with nothing expected. Have I driven that point home to you? Okay. All right. Now let's go to, I tell you what, I don't know if I put that one in either, but go to the book of Lamentations. We're just laying foundation, okay? Are y'all okay? Okay. Here's the thing, guys. You will never push God to the brink. You'll never push God up against the wall where God scratches his head and said, I'm fed up with you, that's it. You're out of here. Are you with me? God will follow you till you take your last breath with His love. Amen? You get to make a choice of whether you love Him back. You get to make a choice of whether you reject or accept. But God loves you. It will not change towards you. Okay? Now here's the book. You find Lamentations? Just go to the book of Jeremiah and just go one more to the right there. Lamentations, if you didn't know, was written by Jeremiah. Now you read the book of Jeremiah, who was a prophet of God, and he stood up and he rebuked the people of God in that day for their lifestyle, the way they were living, the way they were conducting themselves as people who said they love God. And when you get to the book of Lamentation, Lamentation, he's lamenting over their lifestyle, the way they were living. But listen to this, verse 22, Lamentation chapter 3. It says, now this is what he told them under the old covenant. Say old covenant. It says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Somebody ought to say, thank God. Now listen, that's under old covenant. He says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassion or His love fails not. They are new. Look at this. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Did you know that when you woke up this morning, God had already renewed His mercy towards you? Now, I read this to you because this is old covenant, but we live under a better covenant, established on better promises. If God would renew His mercy towards them, how much more will God renew His mercy towards the children of the covenant of light? Now, go back over quickly to the book of, let's go back over to the book of Romans again, one more time. Now, again, I need to lay these things down for you so that you can get my whole heart today. Listen to me. Is that you get a revelation of the God who loves you and how much God's love is towards you. Not you walking in the love of God. Those are two different things. Are you with me? Go to Romans chapter 8. Now we found out, here, let me just catch up with you. We have found out that God loved you when you were a sinner, when you were ungodly, and you were an enemy. Amen? You as a Christian cannot do anything. Say this with me. I cannot do anything to change God's love towards me. All right? Your lifestyle may not be perfect, and most of us is not. Amen. And it does not change or affect the way God loves you. Okay? God loves you exactly the way you are.
Now, I know when I say these things, I've preached some things like this before, and you ought to see the faces up here. Like, people are going, you know, like they're shell shocked. They're like, oh, man, that can't be. Nah. Well, let me help you here. Go to Romans 8, okay? Let's read this. Maybe this will help you a little bit, all right? I mean, just get that dumbfounded look off your face and receive what God has to say for you. Receive and open the heart, the eyes of your understanding to receive a revelation of just how much God loves you. Amen. If you don't get that, folks, you will be messed up. You will be messed up in your relationships. You will be goofed up. I mean, you will be Now look at this. You found Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Let's read this. Oh, this is good, isn't it? Let me find it. It says, what then shall we say to these things? All these things I've been saying to them. What are you going to say to them? If God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? The King James says, giving us all things to freely enjoy. It says, who? I mean, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also makes intercession for us? Who? Now, he's asking questions, okay? He's asking a question, and he's going to answer here just a little bit later. Look what it says here. It says verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, stop here a minute. Who can separate you from the love of God? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Now, he goes in, he starts answering. Shall tribulation? What does tribulation mean? Well, tribulation just means you got problems. You got situations. You got tests. You got trials. Anybody ever had a test or a trial? It says, our distress. What's distress? Well, it's just a huge amount of stress that weighs down on you. Shall distress? Shall persecution? Our famine? I like that because you could say economy. Hello? Our nakedness, our peril, our sword. He's asking a question. Now he's going to begin to answer. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now he's quoting there. But look at verse 37. He says, and yet in all these things, say all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now, how did God love us? He loved us with His agape love, His unconditional, His unchanging, the love that expects nothing in return. He said, I am persuaded. Now, I like when Paul answered. He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now listen, my heart in this series is for you to get a revelation of the God kind of love and let that revelation directly affect every relationship that you will have in this earth. That nothing, he said nothing, whether it's now, to come, future, in the earth, out of the earth, demonic, whatever it is, nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Well, did he mean it? Are you persuaded? Okay, that's what he's saying. And let me reiterate this point to you. I hope you wrote this down. Expect nothing in your relationships. I'm helping you out. I don't expect my mom to call me. I don't expect my kids to give me a Father's Day gift. Now, if she does call me or my kids give me a gift, thank God. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? But I don't expect them to do anything. That's how people get hurt. Well, bless God, I called you twice and you haven't called me yet. Hello? And they get hurt because you haven't called them back. Well, that's not the love of God, right? That's why people get hurt so often in relationships. When you have a visual, when you have a revelation, understanding that God's love towards you expects nothing in return. He didn't expect you to even be in church today. But by the grace of God, you're here. By the grace of God, you're learning and you're going to get a vision of how much God loves us. Are you with me? Now let's move here because I got to kind of wind this up for today. Go to the book of Ephesians. Keep going to the right there. And let me say, as you're turning, this will help you. Ephesians chapter 3. Now listen to me. God, are y'all listening? Okay, listen as you turn. Listen. God will never, ever give up on anybody. No, you didn't hear what I said. How many of you have given up on people? Now, see, if you don't have a revelation of God's love, you'll be the kind of person that says, well, that's two strikes. One more, buddy, you're gone out of my life. Are you here? God does not give up on anybody. God does not give up and has not and will not give up on any person in this room. God does not give up on marriages. God does not give up on people. Now we do because we get hurt in those relationships. And I'm not advocating any woman that's here that's, again, in an abusive relationship. And there's sometimes husbands are in an abusive relationship. I'm not advocating that you get in and stay in a place where you get your nose bloodied and you got, you know, getting beat up and abused and, you know, cussed out and so on and so forth. I'm not advocating. There's going to be times that you've got to withdraw yourself from that relationship to wake up that other person that, honey, I love you, but I ain't staying in this house as long as you're full of the devil. And that is designed to wake them up that you're serious. You ain't going to stay around in that situation. And it can get bad. How many know situations can get bad? Maybe some of you have been in them, but let me tell you something. You may give up on that person because you've got to protect your heart. You don't want your heart hurt and damaged time after time after time. If the man has done 10 or 12 or whatever adulterous affairs on you, I mean, how many know that guy needs help? And if that guy is not willing to get help, there's nothing you can do but withdraw yourself from that relationship. But even in that extreme, God does not give up on that person. I said God doesn't give up on him. We give up on people because we don't want our hearts hurt over and over and over and over again. But it's because we have to learn how to love like God loves us. Okay, let me go over here and we got to close up. Are you with me? Are y'all here? You okay? Now remember, Romans wouldn't have been written to us. Paul wouldn't have wrote these things. What could separate us from the love of God if the devil didn't have a design in his plan to separate us from the love of God? Now I've heard Christians say this, you know, many times. They've said, well, they do things and they know that what they've done is wrong. They got in situations and they say things like, I just don't feel like God loves me anymore. You ever heard anybody say that? Well, let me just also remind you that love is not a feeling. Love is not a feeling, okay?
Now, there's going to be times you get goosebumps. There's going to be times that you get thrilled and you feel excited and, you feel just great. See, but there's going to be times you don't feel so great. But it's not because God's love is changing towards you. Are you here? Okay, so I want you to make sure. I found out over the years of pastoring and studying and getting into the Word of God and counseling people, I found out that all relationship problems can be boiled down to one word. All marital problems, all relationships between two people, relationship between children, et cetera, listen, can be boiled down to one simple word. One. Say one. One simple word. I'll give it to you next week. Now, you know what it is? Listen, you know what it is? Selfishness. Come on. You can go back and trace the root of every disastrous relationship problem down to one word, selfishness. I didn't get my way. I didn't get what I want. Just write it down. 1 Peter 4:8, because I don't have time to go all these this morning. It says, above all things, have fervent love one for another, for a multitude. It says, for love will cover a multitude of sin. Now, the word fervent does not mean heat or hot. It means a reaching love. It's not heat here, but it's called a reaching love. We've all seen and heard terrible things happen in a marriage. But you know, like Brother Hagin, you say, you will never see love coming up the aisle in a divorce court. You will never see the love of God coming up the aisle in a divorce court. You know why? Because love is always trying to reconcile. Love is always trying to work it out. Love of God is unconditional. It's unchanging. Are y'all here? Paul, listen. And again, man, there's so many things. People, now, I got to qualify some things here because people can get condemned over what they think the Bible says. Well, Pastor, you know, we just got to tough it out because once we're married, that's it. Well, let me just say something to you. God does not advocate divorce, right? He does not condone divorce. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, if a man is bound to a wife, let him stay bound. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You look at it later. He said, and if a man is loose from a wife, let him stay loose. But then he goes on and says, but if he remarries, it is not a sin. Now, it is true, Jesus was teaching under old covenant law and said that any woman who gets remarried and she has been divorced, then she has entered into a fornication or an adulterous situation. But that was under the law, teaching under the law. Paul said it this way. He said, if a man is bound to his wife, let him stay bound. If he's loose from his wife, let him stay loose. But it is not a sin if he remarries. That's what it says in the Greek. Now listen to me. Divorce is no worse than any other sin. How many Christians had a bad marriage, a bad, terrible, maybe first marriage or what have you, didn't have a full concept or revelation, maybe one was not saved, so on, and divorce happened. And they get into another relationship and live very happily and very fruitful, very productive, yet still live condemned because they think that now that they're married again, that they are in an adulterous or a situation that God cannot forgive. I'm here to tell you that divorce is a sin that God can forgive.
Amen.
Now, don't go out here and say, awesome. The pastor said I can get a divorce. Because any Bible-believing church got to qualify everything. Listen, any Bible-believing, right-minded church is going to try to help people stay together, live together, keep their families together. Are you here? Sometimes you can help people if they're both willing. But if one is not willing, it becomes a very difficult situation. Now, where did I tell you to turn? No. Ephesians chapter 3. Let me close with this. Let me read this to you right quick. Are y'all okay? Can you give me a couple minutes here? I know y'all used to Marvin quitting at 11:30, but... I'm trying to help you. Say, he's helping me. This is going to be a good series. Now listen to me. Let me finish up here. It says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many know it's just sometimes it's just good to bow your knee and get before the Lord? Okay. Now Paul is going to spend here the rest of this chapter in a prayer. Now he could have prayed. He could have prayed for anything. He could have said that you need to pray that you might see the grace of God. You might pray that you might have more faith. You could have prayed a lot of things, but what he's praying here, let me just tip you off. He's praying that you get a revelation of God's love towards you. Amen. See, you don't know how much God loves you until you know how much God loves you. You don't know how much God loves you until the eyes of your understanding and your heart has been illuminated to the revelation of the agape love of God. Now here's what he says. Let's read it so we can close. It says, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, talking about Jesus, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. How many know that our inner man needs more strength than our outer man? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, say through faith, that you being rooted, now the word rooted means established, and grounded means the foundation that you build on. That's why I'm calling this first message the foundation. The foundation in love. Because if you don't get this, listen, I can assure you, your future relationships are going to be messed up. Now look at this. He says, that you may be able to comprehend. The word comprehend means above human knowledge. You don't get this out of textbooks. You don't get this by going to Harvard. You don't get this by school. You get this by the Holy Spirit. That you might comprehend. That's what Paul is praying here with all the saints. What is the width? You got King James says breadth, but width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that's what he's praying, that you might be filled with the fullness of God, to know the love of God that passes all understanding. Now in closing, just write down these four things, because I believe there's four words here. The width, the length, the depth, the height describes the four characteristics of God's love. Let me give you this right quickly and then we'll close, okay? The four characteristics of God's love. Just write down first, width. Now, width represents the giving side of God's love. Let me just give you a brief explanation. Width, say width or breadth. It is the giving side of God's love, or in other words, it is the fact that the love of God always looks to give, not take. Can I just help you a little bit in your relationships? Always try to move towards the giving side, not the taking side. The second one is the length. The length literally means to reach towards. It represents that God is the initiator. When we talk about the link, we have to talk about God being the initiator. Remember who loved us first. We love God because what? He loved us first. God is the initiator. He introduced, if you will, how to love in this earth, how to love like God loves us. Just write down Ephesians 5:25. Most of you know it. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, isn't that crazy? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, how many know if you're married, and just look forward again like, you know, this has never happened to you. But if you're married and in that relationship, and say you got mad at each other and you don't speak to each other for a time. Yeah, no, don't raise your hand. You know what I'm talking, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, where you just silent treatment. You ain't going to talk. Let me tell you something. If you're a godly husband, God has called you, designed you to be the initiator. All this, you know, all the men say, I thought you was on our side. No, we're on God. I'm saying, if you're a godly husband, God has called you to be the initiator. Amen. You're to break the ice. Amen. Well, I'm waiting on you. No. Are you a godly husband? Then you are called to be the initiator. You are called, if you are a godly husband, to initiate and get the silent treatment over. Come on, somebody. Now, a good husband that loves his wife learns to be the initiator in the relationship. Third, are you with me? Depth, say depth. That represents no bottom, okay? It represents, according to Romans 5, 6, and 8, it represents that God loves you just where you are, just where you are at. Now, how many of you today would admit you're sitting here in church and you have issues and you have problems in your life? No. How many? I only saw about two hands. How many of you would admit that you're sitting here in church as a Christian and you still have some issues and you have some problems in your life? That's about 40%. The rest of you are lying out your... How many of you would admit you're Christian, you're saved, you were a sinner, but you're sitting here this morning and you still sin? Some of you, I hope you make heaven. The point is, we all have issues, don't we? Huh? We all have issues. So if we don't get a revelation, listen, if we don't get a revelation of the width, the length, the depth, that God's love towards us, loves us in whatever state we're in, then all of our relationships, we're going to get angry, we're going to get mad, we're going to look like we've been baptized in lemon juice every time we look at somebody. Just look at me wrong, bless God, I'll show you what a look is. We're going to retaliate. We're going to get even. Oh, you be nice to me, though. I'll be nice to you. You see, every relationship you have will be goofed up if you don't get a revelation of the width, the length, the depth. And did I give you the last one? The height. Of course, this means elevation. It represents that God does not give up on any of us. That means I have to accept you. If I love like God, I have to accept you in whatever state you're in. I don't mean Texas. Just like you have to love your children in whatever state they're in. You may not be pleased, but you have to love them. Now let me close with these thoughts. When you give up on yourself, think about how all your relationships are going to be. No, I just want you to think about this. Now when you think that God has given up on you, oh me, Oh, me, you will be wishy-washy with a capital WW. You will be flaky. You will be in. You will be out. You will be up. You will be down. You will be sour. You will be bitter. I mean, just stop and think about it. When you don't see that God loves you unconditionally, that God loves you in whatever state you're in today. How many people sitting in here today have give up on somebody? How many of us in here today have said, you know what? I give up on that guy. I give up on that person. Now again, I have to qualify, because there are things from the human side that we have to separate ourselves from, because we do need to protect our hearts. Are you with me? But how many of you in here have give up on somebody? But thank God, God doesn't give up on anybody. See, that's the love of God. I want you to leave with this thought today. I want you to stand up on your feet just a minute. I want you to leave with this thought. That God's love, say this with me, say, God's love is unchangeable towards me. Say, God's love, it's unconditional towards me. Say, God's love loves me today, no matter what state I'm in. God loves me today, and He will never, never give up on me. I want you to leave today with those thoughts. God will never give up on me. God's love. There's nothing I can do to make Him love me more. There's nothing I can do to make Him love me less. It's unconditional, God kind of love. How many of you want that kind of love? I said, how many of you want that kind of love? I want to pray for you right now. I want just to lift our hands to heaven. How many of you see the value in seeing